Amen. Man, I'm so glad that my life is no longer the same as it used to be, but God came down from heaven to earth to set me on a firm foundation. He changed the trajectory of my life, and I'm no longer the way I used to be, but because of Jesus Christ in me, He's changed my life, and I know He's changed your life also. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Well, I'm excited to preach this morning. I'm going to talk about two things that I'm passionate about and two things that I absolutely love. Of course, I'm going to talk about the Lord, and I'm also going to talk about, as you can tell, I'm going to talk about golf. And the title of my message this morning is Getting Better at Golf. And just to validate my love for the sport, my love for golf, I want you to know over the several years, I've been able to get better and better at golf. In fact, I held, I don't know if they still are the course records, but I shot an 11 under par one time and shot a 61. I've shot 10 under par at a different course and got the course record there at 10 under par. And so I've learned a couple things about golf that I want to share with you this morning. And again, I've titled my message this morning, Getting Better at Golf. A couple days before Valentine's Day, I went out and started working on my golf swing a little bit. I went out to the golf course and I was working on my swing. And I started thinking about my relationship with Christina because it was a couple days before Valentine's Day. And I started thinking about our relationship and just started thinking about what can I do for Valentine's Day that would make our day extra special. And so I started thinking about all those different types of things, our relationship. And it dawned on me how much golf and relationships really do parallel each other and how much they correlate with one another. I remember when I first started attending Harvest Church, I was about 18 years old or so at the time, and there was a deacon on our board, and he said, "Hey, Gary, I want to take you out golfing because it'll give us a chance to really hang out. I'd like to disciple you. I see God's call upon your life, and I just think that it'll be a good time for us to spend with each other. It'll give us time to talk about the Lord." And I thought to myself, well, even though I've never really golfed before, and for those of you that know me, you know I'm highly ultra competitive about everything that I do. And so if you invite me to go do something that maybe I don't think I'm going to beat you at, guess what? I'm going to make up excuses for why I can't go do that thing or why I'm busy and can't go do that thing with you because I don't want to lose. I'm competitive. And so this old man had invited me to go out and play some golf that day. And I thought, well, I'm going to accept his invitation, even though I've never played golf, because surely I'm going to be able to give it to this old man. I mean, I was 18 years old and this man was about 42. And I was... Now, confession, now that I'm only 2 months away from being 40, how many of you know that wasn't an old man, somebody? Come on, that was a young man. That was a young man. And so I accepted his challenge. I went out to the golf course. I shook his hand and I said, "Hey, good luck." And it wasn't that type of good luck like, "Hey, good luck, man. I hope you do really good." It was that type of good luck like, "Hey, good luck, because I'm going to give it to you, old man. I'm going to whoop you down." And so I went out there. I went out to the first tee and, you know, everything was beautiful. It started out as a great day. And I get out there and, you know, I'm swinging a club, and at first everything was going pretty good. You know, I was hitting golf balls. Everything was going pretty well. You know, and then before I started hitting the golf ball and it was going to the left. And not before long, and I was hitting the golf ball in the water, in the trees. It was going in all types of different places other than where I really wanted it to go. And I started teeing off my ball, and my golf balls were going towards the water. They were going towards the trees. They were going towards the street. I even started doing this thing where I started screaming at the golf ball. You know, I mean, I got up there to hit my golf ball. When I didn't hit a good shot, I would, like, dribble it. Oh, man, no! Don't get in the water! Get out of the water! No! And I even started doing this thing called the lean. Golfers are notorious for doing this thing called the lean. It looks like this. They get up to hit their golf ball, and let's say they hit it to the right. They hit it to the right, and they're like, they start leaning. No! Come back! They start to try to wheel it as if they could somehow bring that ball back to where they want it to go. The golfers are also notorious for doing this thing where they start blaming all different types of surroundings around them for why they're not hitting the golf ball where they want it to go. It looks like this. Golfers they'll get up to get ready to hit the golf ball. They feel good. They look good. You know, they got their nice clubs. They got their nice shoes on. And they go and they hit the ball and it starts going towards the water. He starts, "No, get out of the water. Oh, man." And then they start looking around at everyone else. They're like, I heard a cell phone. Oh, I know I heard a ringtone. I specifically heard a ringtone. Who has their cell phone on? And, you know, everyone else in the car was like, well, I have a cell phone, but it's in the golf cart and it's on vibrate. I knew it. Did I say ringtone? I mean vibrate. I heard a vibration coming from somewhere. And I know. And you know, they start blaming all different types of reasons why they're not hitting the golf ball where they want it to go. They're just notorious for that. And something that I did that day when I was trying to golf with this young man, he whipped my tail. And there was a couple things that I learned about my golf swing. That the golf ball was going in a trajectory that it was going in. And it was going towards the woods. It was going towards the trees. It was going in the water. But I was starting to scream at it. And nothing I was doing was helping. I would scream at it. I would lean at it. I would pray for it. I would hope for it. But nothing I was doing was working. And by the way, it wasn't the golf ball's fault where the golf ball was ending up. The golf ball was ending up where it should have ended up because of my swing. It was going where it should have gone in the first place. And there's something I've learned about golf, that if I was going to change the trajectory of my golf ball, or if I was going to do any better, I was going to have to get some lessons, and I was going to learn how to change my swing to get the outcome to get better, because it was being affected by the input of my swing to where that golf ball was going. And the same is true with relationships. At first, we get into relationships, everything is great, and then before you know it, the relationship starts going towards the water, starts going to the trees. And you know, when I was hitting my golf ball into the trees or the water, that old man was trying to give me some advice. And on the outside, I welcomed the advice. I said, okay, I'll put that into practice, I'll give that a try. But on the inside, I was like, don't give me no advice, I got this, I could do this. And the same is true in relationships. Before you know it, the relationship starts going in a trajectory that you're not proud of, and people start to give you advice, and on the outward, you welcome the advice. You say, oh, okay, I'll give that a try, but on the inside, you say, I got this, I could do this, don't try to give me no advice. And before long, you start screaming at the relationship, you start leaning at the relationship, you start praying at the relationship, hoping for the relationship, but it does no good because that relationship is already in flight. And by the way, if the relationship is going in a certain trajectory, don't just yell at the relationship. It's not the relationship's fault where it's going. It's your swing's fault for where the relationship is going. And here's some hard to hear truth, is that where your relationship is today is where your relationship should be, because that's where your swing has taken that relationship. No matter the input, no matter how much you yell at it, no matter how much you lean at it, there's nothing you're going to be able to do to change the trajectory of that relationship, because the relationship is already in flight. We're going to have to learn to do some adjustments and learn to do some shifting in our relationship swing if we want those relationships to go in a different trajectory. And so this morning, I want to give you 4 adjustments in your relationship swing. And I believe that if you will make these adjustments and apply them to your life, that you will begin to see that you will begin to change the trajectory of your relationships because of the input that you're making the output be different. And by the way, all 4 of my points, all the first letters are going to spell the word golf. Come on, someone turn to their neighbor and say, man, Pastor worked hard on his message this week. He worked on his golf. We're going to use the acronym GOLF. Let's pray. God, we just ask you to be with us for these next couple of moments as we learn about relationships. God, I pray that you would open up our eyes to be able to see in the supernatural. I pray that you would open up our ears so that we can hear your Spirit's call, and that you would soften our hearts so that we can make adjustments in our relationships without pride setting it in, but Lord, so we can make the adjustments to make our relationships better. For it's in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. 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 The first adjustment to your relationship swing is grow in Christ-likeness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And the reality is that all of us have done things out of selfish ambition, haven't we? Or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships. Now notice the focus here. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So the question this morning is, what mindset did Jesus have? Because if we will implement that same type of mindset into our own lives and into our relationships, we will begin to see that our relationship trajectories will be able to change. Verse 6, who being the very nature God, did not consider himself equal with God, something to be used for his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Did you catch that? Jesus was a servant. He didn't come from heaven to earth to be served, but he came from heaven to earth to serve. He served his disciples. He even washed his disciples' feet. Come on, somebody. How many of you know there are some people in this room that have some dirty, stanky feet? I ain't washing your feet this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not talking about me. He must be talking about your stinky feet this morning. Jesus even served every single one of us sitting in this room today by going to the cross and dying at the cross of Calvary. And he replaced our spot for his. He died the horrific death so we didn't have to die the horrific death. And if we will begin to make these adjustments in our relationship swing and begin to serve, it will impact the trajectory of our relationships. But oftentimes what begins to happen is instead of trying to outserve one another, we try to outselfish one another. And to be honest with you, there have been several times in my 16 years of being married to Christina where I have outselfished my wife, where I had the mentality of what can you do to serve me, or what can you do to make my life any better. And I have had to learn over the last 16 years how to make small relationship adjustments to begin to serve my wife. I remember there was a time where something pivotal happened, and I could really preach today. And so something pivotal happened in our relationship, and it was something that that my wife had been asking me to do. It and something shifted in my relationship. It made me realize that I needed to serve my wife better. And my wife for several weeks was asking me to change the smoke detector batteries. You know, when it starts going down and it lets you know with that beep that you need to change that thing. You need to change the battery. It's like when you're walking down the hallway and all of a sudden, and you're like, oh my goodness, what was that? And it never goes off at convenient times, does it? You can have your baby, you know, all the way asleep, and right before you stick her in a bassinet, boop, and you're like, oh my, I almost dropped my child. It never goes off at convenient times. What, like at your house, it never goes off at convenient times at my house either. And they were starting to go off one by one. I changed the first one. I didn't feel like changing the rest. And so I just let it go. And I thought, man, I'll just fix it some other time. Well, I had to go out of town. And I left on a Thursday, was going to come back on a Sunday. Uncoincidentally, it was for a golf tournament. And guess what happened during that time? That's right. The smoke alarm battery detector started going off. And it went off at the most odd time. It went off at 2 a.m. in the morning. My wife was mad. My wife was furious. And she tried, you know, woke up our baby. She went to go get Lexi. Lexi was less than a year old. She brought her in bed with her, trying to get her to go to sleep. And every couple minutes, that thing was going off, keeping them awake. Kept them awake for about an hour. And then she finally called one of her friends and said, hey, would you mind if you and your husband can come over? And if your husband wouldn't mind changing the light, changing the battery inside the smoke detector. And he said, sure, we'll be there. We'll be there real soon. And it took them about 45 minutes to get there because they had to get a babysitter to watch their kids so that they could change my battery in my smoke detector. How many of you know that there are times as a husband, there are times as a father where you realize I have failed in serving my family, and this was one of those times. And there's something that happened. This woke me up, and ever since that moment, I started working on that relationship swing to begin to serve my wife. And 16 years later now, about 2 weeks ago, I got sick, and we were getting ready to have some family members come in from New York. My brother and sister-in-law came in, Christina's twin sister and her whole family. And this was going to be the first time they were going to see our house because we had just moved into a new home. They hadn't seen it yet, so Christina wanted everything to look really good. She gave me a honey-do list. God bless those honey-do lists. And on that honey-do list was go mow the lawn, go put up the curtains, put up this, put that, go to amen, or up here, go do all this other stuff. But the problem was I was sick. I had a fever. I actually threw out my back, pulled a muscle. I mean, there are a ton of things that happened in preparation for this sermon. No joke. All of that happened. And I didn't feel like doing all of those things, but guess what? I did it anyways, fever and all. I went out, I did it. I came inside and my wife did something that was so impressive to me. She called our family in a family room after I was done and she said, hey, guys, I want you to know something, that when I married your dad, I hit the jackpot. Do you guys see how much he serves us around here? Do you guys see how much he does around here for our family? And it dawned on me at that time that, yes, I was making some relationship adjustments to serve my wife, but I did not realize how much that our relationship wasn't going in the trees any longer, or in the woods anymore, or going out to the street anymore, or going out of bounds anymore, but our relationship was going in a direction and trajectory that I could now be happy with. You have to learn to outserve one another, not outselfish one another. The second adjustment to your relationship swing, again, we're looking at that word GOLF. So the acronym GOLF is over-communicate. There's something that I've learned about all different types of relationships, whether you're in a parenting relationship, a child relationship, a marriage relationship, a coworker relationship, a boss relationship, whatever type of relationship you might find yourself in, there's something I've learned is that people most oftentimes struggle when it comes to communication. There was a husband and a wife, and they had gotten into an argument or a tiffy fit about something, and they got mad at each other. It started flaring verbally in a whole bit. They got into a huge argument, and they stopped talking to one another. About 2 days goes by. They're not talking to each other anymore. They're mad at each other. They don't look at each other. They wake up in the morning. They get dressed, and they go and, you know, brush their teeth. They go to the coffee. They go to the kitchen table. They start eating, and they don't even talk to each other. They don't even look at each other. They go to the dinner table later on that night. Same thing. They don't even talk to each other or listen to each other. Nothing. They're not going to break the code of silence. You ever been there before? Now, stay silent. Don't raise your hand. See, this is where you should stay silent, right here. Don't. Keep it down. Don't raise that hand. I'm telling you. They were silent. They weren't going to break that code of silence. One day, the husband gets home, and he thinks, man, I really need my wife's help with something. I need to go on a business trip tomorrow morning. I need to take a flight out. I need to wake up at 5 a.m., enough time to wake up to get to the airport in time to go to Chicago for an important business meeting. So he needs his wife's help because she wakes up early. She always wakes up at 4 a.m., and she could surely ensure that he would make it on time. But he was notorious for trying to set his alarm, and he would just sleep right through that alarm whenever he had to try to wake up any earlier. And so he thought, well, I'm not going to break this code of silence that pride had set in. He wasn't going to change anything. So he grabbed a piece of paper and he grabbed a pen and he writes down, wake me up at 5 a.m. And he hands her the note. He goes to sleep. He sleeps like a baby. He's like, I'm all right. She's going to wake me up. And so he goes to bed and he wakes up. It's 8:30. He looks at the clock. It's 8:30 in the morning. He missed his flight. Now he's mad. He's ticked off. He looks at the coffee table and he's like, I'm going to go tell my wife what I think. He looks again and he sees this note that's there that says, wake up. It's 5 a.m. How many of you know this couple needed to work on their communication swing? I know we've been talking about our relationship swing, but I just want to take a couple moments to give you three communication swing adjustments that I believe are biblical and practical. And if we will make these adjustments in our relationship, you'll see that your relationships will begin to go in a different trajectory, one that you could be happy with. The first communication adjustment is seek to understand, not to be understood. So many of us, when we're communicating, we communicate from a vantage point of wanting to be understood. We communicate from that type of vantage point. We say, you know, how many times have you said something like this? Well, I just don't understand why you don't understand. Or how many times have you said, I'm just saying. I mean, if you actually have to say what you were just saying, then maybe your communication skills need some improvement. I'm just saying. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Some of us have a bad habit of spouting off. Some of us cut people off in mid-sentence. We don't take time to understand someone else's point of view, and this is called having a poor communication swing. It's not a good adjustment that we're doing in our life. We have to learn to ask questions, not just assume. So many of our relationships, we talk with people, and we just assume we know where they're going to go next. We cut them off. Well, that's what you said. No, that's not what I said. I said one sentence, you cut me off, and then you filled in the blank. And the truth of the matter is that we'll never improve our relationships unless we change our swing and begin to ask questions. Well, can you help me understand what you meant when you said this? Or, hey, can you help me with that? Because I'm not really understanding. Learn to ask questions. So how about this one? How many of us, when in communication with someone, when they bring up something that maybe we don't agree, we absolutely check out of the conversation within the first couple words because we know where they're going, we think. And we stop listening and we start in our mind formulating what we're going to say to rebut what it is they're going to say. We're just waiting for them to finish, or we're waiting for them just to take a small little breath before we interject what our opinion is. We're going to let them have it. We're going to let them know exactly what we think about that situation. No. Don't do this. The Bible says this is shameful and foolish when we do this kind of act. We have to seek to understand, not to be understood. It's a communication adjustment. The second communication adjustment is be gentle, not harsh. I'm convinced that this adjustment will really help a lot of our relationships go in a trajectory we want them to go in. In fact, when I just said, be gentle, not harsh, some of you in here said, I'm not harsh. And you see, that's the type of attitude that I'm talking about. You can't have that type of attitude because it's going to affect your communication. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to ask ourselves if we're using harsh words. If there are times where we're using harsh words, or where our body language is harsh, or when our body language is aggressive, because if we don't recognize that our body language is harsh, or our tone is harsh, or our words are harsh, it's going to affect our communication. And communication is vital and important to having a good and proper relationship. You see, the ball is in flight, and I just don't understand why my relationship is headed that way. Well, maybe it's because you're harsh. The third communication adjustment is build up instead of tearing down. It's just an adjustment, and if we will begin to use our words to build people up instead of tearing them down, we will see that our relationships will take a different trajectory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Not our needs, but according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We live in a society today where cutting people down with our words is viewed in a positive light. In fact, I know I've done this before. Maybe you have also, where you say something to kind of jab at someone, and just because you get other people to laugh with you, you think it's okay what you just said, but that's not the case. Think about the conversations that you might be having with people. Think about your children, the conversations you have with your children. Think about the relationship that you have with your coworkers or your employees or with your marriage, with your spouse. Are your words building them up, or are they tearing them down? The third communication, the third relationship adjustment, and so we're going to go from our communication swing back over to our relationship swing. So the third adjustment to our relationship swing, remember the acronym GOLF, is learn to stay in love. Learn to stay in love. Falling in love is beautiful. It's absolutely amazing. And for those of you that have experienced falling in love, you know what I'm saying is absolutely true. I remember when Christina and I first started falling in love, we first started dating. I lived here in Elk Grove. She lived in Culver City, Los Angeles. And we couldn't wait to get home just to be able to call each other. And this was a time before cell phones. Yes, young people, there was a time before cell phones. We used to call each other long distance. Long distance is a term, I know it's extinct. You may not understand what long distance means, but long distance means you couldn't just get on a cell phone, talk to whoever for however long, who didn't matter where they lived. Because long distance calling meant that you were going to be charged per minute, and you were going to be charged how far away they lived from you. So if I lived in Elk Grove and I was going to make a phone call to someone in Fresno, it might cost me 5 cents. But if I was going to call someone in Los Angeles, it was going to cost me maybe 50 cents. And so you get charged based upon how much you talk. And Christine and I, we just loved talking to each other. You know, there was even times where that awkward silence is there, where you kind of run out of things to say, but it didn't matter. We just loved being on the phone together. We loved it in our first month of marriage. And by the way, young people, you would get charged long distance tolls based upon you making a phone call. So if I made the phone call, I was going to get charged. If she made the phone call, she would get charged. And so I was charged for my half of those phone calls, $495 our very first month of being a couple. No joke. My mom was in first service. She's like, I know. Yeah, that's true. I'm serious. She was in first service. She's like, that's true. And I mean, and let me tell you, it didn't matter to me that it was $495, not because she paid the bill. That's true, she did. But because I loved talking to my girlfriend at the time, Christina, and we just loved being on the phone together. We talked for several minutes, and not just minutes, but hours. Hours would go by. And every single time we would hang up, here's what it would look like. All right, babe, well, I love you. I love you more. No, you don't. You know I love you more. No, 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 I love you more. And then I would say, okay. Well, babe, all right, well, go ahead and hang up now. I can't hang up on you. Well, I can't hang up on you either. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. And it would go back and forth. But now that you're married, you hang up with a quickness. Right? You get on the phone. You start typing. Here's what it looks like. Hey, babe, you got the kids. I got to get them. Do I got to get them? You're going to get them? Who's going to make dinner? Okay, I got to go. Bye. And you hung up. That's what communication nowadays looks like. Look what Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. And this is God's plan for husbands and wives to grow old together, to share in the love that they share with one another, to be intoxicated with the love that they share with one another. I love you. No, I love you. You get off the phone. No, you get off the phone. Remember that? Most relationships, they start out by dating, then people start falling in love, and then they get married. And that fire that is there, man, it's a hot burning fire. But not before long, when sometimes the fire in marriage can begin to dwindle down to a little flicker, and at times that fire can go out altogether. And there's something that I've learned about fire, about marriage, is that marriage is a lot like a fireplace. It takes a lot of work to get the fire going. You have to get wood. You have to go outside. You have to gather wood. You have to cut the wood. You have to bring the wood in. You have to do that several times before you get enough wood inside to get a fire going. And finally, when you get the fire going, you can relax a little bit and take the heat in. You can enjoy the heat a little bit, but not before long, before that fire begins to dwindle down again and begins to flicker. You have to get out of the couch. You got to go outside, get some more firewood. You got to put wood back into the fire. And can I tell you that if the fireplace is going out, it's not the fireplace's fault. The only reason why the fireplace is going out of fire is because someone stopped putting wood in the fireplace. And I want you to know this morning that if your fireplace is going out of fire, it can burn again. Well, Pastor Gary, how can my fireplace begin to burn again? The first way you can get your fire to burn again is to get past your feelings. Get past your feelings. Feelings follow actions, not the other way around. But Pastor Gary, I just don't feel like it. Well, then guess what? Then you're never going to get any fire in your fireplace again. You have to put some wood in the fireplace. It's going to take work. You got to put wood in the fireplace. You got to love again. You have to serve again. You have to date again. You got to talk again. You got to be intimate again. I didn't say sexual again. I said intimate. There's a difference between intimacy and sexual. If we want to start, we have to start putting actions into our feelings, because if we wait until we feel like it, then guess what? The fire is going to burn out, because our feelings will never catch up. We have to put the actions into place. Number two, the second way to get the fire burning again in your fireplace is to realize your marriage is not beyond repair. You say, Pastor Gary, our fire is dwindling down. In fact, there's a small little flicker. There's barely any fire there. There's no way that we can get that fireplace to burn again. No. Yes, there is a way to get that fireplace burning again. And by the way, when your fireplace is going down, don't just yell at your fireplace saying, the fireplace is going down. That's your fault, because you're not putting wood in the fireplace. You have to love again. You have to buy flowers again. You got to go out on dates again. You got to buy a card and put it on the pillow again. You got to start doing the things you used to do while you were dating when the fire was hot. That's how you're going to bring that fire back into that fireplace. Well, Pastor Gary, I mean, that's nice that some people have a flicker, but I got to be honest with you. There's no flicker. There's no fire. There's no embers. There's nothing in our fireplace. There's not even ashes in that bad boy. There's nothing in our fireplace. Well, granted, if that's where your relationship is today, yes, it's going to take a lot more work to get the fire to burn in your fireplace, and it's going to take a lot more time to get the fire to burn in your fireplace. But can I tell you, your fireplace can burn again? Oh, yes, it can. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have to get some paper and put it in your fireplace. You're going to have to get some kindling and put it in your fireplace. You might have to put some more kindling in your fireplace. You're going to have to pour some gasoline on the firewood. You may have to go to the store, buy yourself a one-gallon tank, a gas can. You may have to go to the gas station, fill it up, come back over here and put it all over that fireplace. And then you might have to put a match in there. And if it still doesn't start, you may have to put another match in there. But can I tell you that if your fireplace is not burning, it can burn again. You just have to believe for it. You got to hope for it. Don't get discouraged. Know that with Christ, all things are possible. Know that your relationship is not beyond repair, that nothing has overcome your relationship. It can burn again. You got to get past the hopeless feeling and start believing that your marriage can burn again. The third way to get your fireplace to burn again is to stop looking for new fireplaces. You got to stop looking for new fireplaces. I'm tired. I got to tell you, as a pastor, I'm tired of hearing families destroyed because someone's off looking for a new fireplace. Your fireplace will never burn as long as you're looking for a new fireplace. You say, well, pastor, you just don't know. You just don't realize. But my fireplace has issues. I know it does, but so does that other fireplace. You just don't know it yet. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Well, pastor, the grass is greener on the other side. No, it's not. And if it is, the water bill is higher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone has the sprinklers on over time. Someone's been fertilizing. Someone's been tending to that field. But if that somebody would spend the same amount of time and energy on their own field, then maybe their grass would get greener a little bit. Preach it, pastor. I'm trying. I'm telling you, it affects me, and it affects people around. The fourth adjustment in your relationship swing, looking at the acronym of GOLF, is forgive. Forgive. Some of the relationships we're in have an undetermined or undesired output because we're inputting grudges and inputting unforgiveness. If we want our relationships to get better with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our children, our parents, whoever it is that we're in relationships with, if we want them to get better, we're going to have to learn to constantly adjust our relationship swing and forgive. It's an ongoing thing. It's an adjustment. People are imperfect. People are going to hurt you. People are going to let you down. People will say things that are going to hurt you because they're imperfect. But can I tell you, if you don't forgive, it's going to hinder, it's going to hurt, and possibly even destroy some of the relationships that you're in. Jeanette, if you can please come. My wife and I, over the last 16 years, we've done our fair share of hurting each other. If you've been married for any time, any length of time at all, you have hurt each other before. My wife and I have said things that we wish we could take back. We've done things to each other that we wish we could take back. We wish we could take an eraser and just erase it from our mind somehow, some way. But can I tell you, we've had to learn to forgive one another. And our fire is burning bright today because we've had to constantly learn to forgive each other over and over and over again. And I believe that there are some of you that here this morning that you're holding on to grudges or you're holding on to bitterness, and it's affecting some of your relationships. Others of you, you may be here this morning and because of a relationship thing that happened over here, you're holding on to a grudge or to bitterness over you. You haven't forgiven that person, and it's spilling into the relationship that you're in now because you won't forgive that person over here. Listen, here's my pastor's heart. My pastor's heart is that you would ask the Lord to help you to make forgiveness adjustments in your life so that your relationships will take a different trajectory. Don't let that person hold that over you. If you don't forgive, it's going to hurt and affect all the different relationships that you currently have. Colossians 3 and verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. What keeps relationships strong is when we constantly shift our relationship swing and we forgive. Would you just go ahead and stand with me this morning, Harvest Church? This morning, I want to recap for just a moment. This morning, we learned how to grow in Christ's likeness. where we learned how to outserve one another, not how to outselfish one another, over-communicate, seek to understand, not to be understood, be gentle, not harsh, build each other up, not tear each other down, learn to stay in love. I know it's going to be hard, but you got to add wood into the fireplace, and you have to forgive. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a lot of work. And when I say forgive, I don't mean forget. It's absolutely wrong, 100% what that person did to you or said to you. Forgiving doesn't give them license to just go and do it again or give them license to hold it over your life. No, when you forgive, you're releasing that person. You're not forgetting. You're releasing that person to where they don't have a footstool in your life any longer and to where the trajectory of your relationships can no longer go towards this way or that way, but go towards the direction you want them to go. This morning, I want to pray for you. If somewhere during this message the Lord was speaking to you and there might be areas of your life where you say, Pastor Gary, I need to do better at this area or I need to do better at that area. And let me tell you, I'm not preaching this morning from a position of perfection, all right? I came up with this message this morning because I have to learn and I have to do better at all of these different things. You might see me up here, you might think relationships come really easy to Pastor Gary. He's whatever, you know, they just come easy. No, that's not the case. Relationship for me take work. Ask anyone that's close to me. Ask our staff members. Poor Pastor Ryan, he's in here. Ask Pastor Ryan. He knows that relationships for me don't come very easy. People that are closest to me know this is an area that I struggle with. I need to do better at relationships. And so I'm not coming this morning at a position of being perfect. I'm coming at a position of being broken this morning. And I need to do better at my relationship swing today. And so if you're here this morning, go ahead and close your eyes with me and bow your hearts. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor Gary, something has affected me in this message. I know I need to do better at serving. I know I need to do better at adding wood to the fire. I know I need to do better at my talking, my communication, or forgiving. If the Lord has talked to you about a specific area, I want you to just raise your hands all across this room. And I want you to know that my hand is up with yours. I'm answering my own altar call today. Lord, I pray you can put those hands down. Lord, I pray for every single person that lifted a hand this morning. Lord, your spirit is here. And where your spirit is, there is fullness of joy. Lord, there's no amount of pain, there's no amount of grudges or unforgiveness that is too great for your spirit. God, you can help us in every single situation, every relationship, whether it be a child relationship, a parenting relationship, a spouse relationship, any type of relationship you can help us with. Lord, when you went to the cross, you didn't just make it possible for us to have a right relationship with you. You made it possible for us to have right relationship with one another. And so this morning, some of us need help with serving. Some of us need help with our mouth. Some of us need help with our body language or the way we communicate. Some of us need help to put fire in the fireplace again. Some of us need help with forgiveness. God, we need help. We need help from the Master today. And God, would you help us to do better at relationships? Because if we get relationships right, then all kinds of other things will turn out right as well. God, help us to change the trajectory of some of our relationships that are headed towards the trees or the woods or the water. And help it to go in a trajectory that we could be proud of and happy with today. God, we can't do it on our own. We know it's going to take your help. But we are filled with hope. We're filled with faith. And we know we can do it with Christ Jesus our Lord, because all things are possible for those who believe. And everyone said aloud, amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord great praise this morning, church. Amen, amen, amen. I want to just spend a moment just praying for some others of you that are here this morning. And you might be saying, Pastor Gary, I hear about all these relationships, but I want you to know that my life has been going towards the trees, and my life has been going towards the woods. My life has been going towards the water. My life has been going in all different types of areas. It's been going out of bounds. But I need my life to start heading in a right trajectory today, in a right direction. I want you to know that the only way that can happen is if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I want to give you that opportunity today. You might be here this morning. You might be saying, well, Pastor Gary, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior in the past, but I want you to know I haven't been living the life that Jesus would want for me to live. Ever since I did that, it seems like I was doing well for about a year, or doing well for a couple months, but I got to be honest with you, my relationship with the Lord has gone left, or it's gone right. It's sliced to the left. It's sliced to the right. It's going out of bounds. I need to realign my relationship with Him so that my life can begin to go in a different trajectory. If that's you this morning, I want to pray a prayer with you, a prayer of committal to the Lord. And if that's you, I want to pray this prayer. I want to ask you to repeat this prayer in Harvest Church. I want you to also repeat it with me. Everyone, go ahead and just bow your heads one more time and close your eyes for just a moment. And if that's you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. And you're not going to be the only ones praying it. The whole church family here is going to be praying it with you. Say with me out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, my life has not been going in the trajectory that I want it to go. And I realize today that you can change that trajectory. So Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my life, and I receive you and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Do with my life with what you will. I commit my life to you. I want to live for you. I no longer want to go towards the left or towards the right, but I want my trajectory in life to be headed towards you. And so from this day forward, I'm going to make the right adjustments to serve you. And it's starting out by accepting you today. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Thank you for forgiving me and setting me on a firm foundation. And everyone said aloud, amen. Amen. Now listen, here's what just happened. I'm going to give you a moment here, and just a moment you're going to be able to clap. Here's what just happened. If you prayed that prayer either for the first time or you'd rededicated your life, I want you to know that the Bible says all of heaven erupted in praise and started applauding as you just gave your lives to Christ. And our church would like the same opportunity to do that with you. And so if you accepted Christ today and you prayed that prayer with me, would you just raise your hand all across this auditorium? I see your hand in the back, right here, right here, right here, right here, right there, right here, right here, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. All right, now come on, now give the Lord great praise this morning. Yeah! God, you are worthy. God, you are worthy. I want you to know something. That from this day forward, it may not be easy, but I'm telling you, you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side. You can do it and you can make it. Make the right changes to continue having the right relationship with Jesus. Start reading your word, praying, spending time in His word. And I'm telling you, you will begin to see your relationship swing with Jesus start to go in a trajectory that you want it to go in. Listen, everyone, I'm so happy that you came to church today. I'm so glad that we were able to talk about relationships. I got to be honest with you. This last couple of weeks have been a lot of spiritual warfare preparing for this message, because I believe Satan didn't want this type of message to get out. Because if he can affect your home, or if he can affect your relationships, so many different people around you would be affected. But I want you to know that Christ wants you to have victory today. He wants you to be able to make it. It's not hopeless. Come on, someone. Be filled with hope and faith and love. And let me tell you, it can be possible. So this week, I want you to go with Christ this week. Start working on those relationships. Start watching your tongue. Put wood in the fire. Do the things that you know used to bring that fire back while you were dating. I'm telling you, your relationships will begin to change. God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. We love you. Thank you for being here. Next week is going to start our missions conference, so don't miss out on that. God bless you.